Amen. All right. So we're going to continue on with our series, Living by Faith, Speaking the Promises of God. We're going to put a little pause on our study through Hebrews, though, because we've been hitting really hard the last few weeks, this idea about, you know, the worldview, the Christian worldview is one that does not fear death. And there's a lot of fear in our world, especially the longer this thing goes on and the restlessness and all that. We've been hitting that really hard. And so, you know, Rick made the point last week in the message that, you know, to get to that Christian worldview that looks to death as the preferred outcome, because we get to see Jesus face to face, we have to have our minds transformed. We have to have our minds transformed by the Word. And I think that becomes that begs the question then for a lot of us, how do we do that? And so today is just going to be a kind of a fast, hard-hitting, practical application. How do we have our minds transformed by the Word? And Jenny and I were talking this past week, early in the week, about this message, and Jenny shared something with me that I just want, but would be great for you to share, because it sets up this whole thing, right?
Okay, all right.
Take it away.
All right. So a few days ago, I got up in the morning, and I was just kind of went to our sliding glass door, and I could hear the birds singing, and they were especially loud that morning for some reason. I thought, wow, there's got to be like 100 birds outside singing. It was so loud, and I just felt just prompted in my heart to go outside onto the porch. And I basically had my big blankie around me. I didn't have any socks on. But I went out. It was cold out there. And I was like, okay. So I went outside. And when I went out, I could hear the birds singing. When I really listened, I could also hear the cars and trucks going by on 209. If you know where we live, we kind of live in Franklin Township. So I could hear these cars going by on 209. I could hear like the axles of the trucks like bouncing. It was so clear that morning. I could hear the traffic in Lehighton, in the town of Lehighton. And I heard an airplane. Now, it was a little bit cloudy that morning, so I couldn't see the airplane. I was kind of looking, and I wasn't leaving the porch. But I just could hear the birds singing and the traffic over on this side and the airplane. And I was like, wow. And as I just stood there and listened and allowed my ears to just kind of tune themselves, I could even hear the individual calls of the birds. I could hear the individual bird sounds and the individual, you know, the traffic. And when I really focused, and I just thought, Lord, where's your voice in this? And God just spoke to me that we have to tune our ears to hear his voice. There is so much noise around us all the time. There's so much noise. But God has given us these amazing machines. I'm not an ear specialist, but that we can actually isolate sounds with our ears. We can push aside the sounds that we don't want to listen to, and we can tune our ears to hear that which we want to listen to. So, and I want to encourage you too, that oftentimes I think people say, I don't think God hears my prayers. But the Bible says that God is not deaf, that he hears us, that when we pray, it lands on ears that hear. And God, although there are billions of people on this planet and billions that have gone before us, God knows how to tune his ear to your heart and your voice. So he hears your call, just like I could hear those bird calls. God can tune his ear to hear you. He does not turn a deaf ear when you pray to him and you talk to him. But we have to tune our ears and tune our hearts to hear the voice of God, to hear the voice of truth in the times of uncertainty.
Absolutely.
That's it.
That's great.
All right.
Great job. I appreciate that. Yeah, and we'll start that conversation, you know, is when I got up a little later. I was sitting at the dining room table, and I had the sliding glass door open, because it was warm, and I was sitting there with my coffee and my Bible and journal, and we have bird feeders in the back, and I didn't even have to look, but I heard the chirp, and I thought, oh, cardinal's here, because over time I've come to know what the specific sound of the cardinal is. And I looked and turned and looked, and of course there he was sitting on the bird feeder, and we had this conversation and said, yeah, this is what we need to do, is learn how to pick out God's voice in the midst of all the noise, and focus on that so that we can experience the abundant life. You know, in Acts chapter 7, I was reading through Acts this past, studying through Acts, and in Acts chapter 7 is this trial of Stephen, a young minister who was brought before the Jewish council, the same council that crucified Jesus, and is accused of blasphemy and all this stuff. And chapter 7 is a lot about his incredibly stellar defense of God and his plan and what he's doing and making the comparison to Jesus. But at the end of it, right, it ends with Stephen being martyred. They kill him for it. But in verse 57, Acts 7:57, it says, but the crowds, they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears and rushed at him with one impulse. And really, you know, that just stood out to me because, you know, the enemy's tactics are the same down through thousands of years. And one of his biggest things is he will often try to drown out the truth with a lot of noise. What he doesn't have in substance, he makes up for in volume. Don't confuse me with facts. Blah 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 blah. I'm not listening, and I'm just gonna drown you out with stuff. And like Jenny was saying, that's what the world we live in. Not just the world. We walk outside and we hear the trucks and the airplanes and the industrial part of what it means to be a human being. But just look around, right? The barrage of information that comes at us through the media, through social media, through people, all this stuff, and it can be overwhelming. And it's just a lot of noise. So really what we want to do today is just kind of stop and say, how do we filter out that noise, and how do we proclaim the truth so that it pierces through, so that, because we want the abundant life, So that's where we're heading today. So, Rick said last week, to get to that worldview that says, I'm not afraid of anything in this life, even death, because I'm going to see Jesus, we have to have our minds transformed. He says, don't be conformed to this world in Romans 12, but be transformed. Don't fall lockstep with what everybody else is doing, because you're going to get the same results they do. But be transformed by the Word of God. And in Ephesians 5, he says, what's that process? That God may sanctify us by having cleansed us by the washing of water with the Word. We have to have our minds transformed and renewed and cleansed by the Word of God. And so today is just going to be a practical application. For many of you, you're doing that. You're studying the Word, you're journaling, and you're making progress. Good for you. But I also recognize that for a lot of us, they have the faintest clue how to do that. The Bible is, I don't know where to start. I don't know how to read it. I don't know how to apply it. And so I kind of feel lost. And therefore, we don't have that hope. So today we're going to show you how to do that. So washing the water of the Word, I hope you guys are being productive. If you have time off, good projects. One of the first things I had to do that I did in this quarantine time was to power wash our back deck. It's something I have to do every 2 years or so. It's a long, tedious process. And because, sometimes a gentle rain just doesn't cut it for washing. A warm, spring shower that we get or a morning dew is nice. It refreshes, it replenishes, but it's not going to clean, stuff that's been caked on there. So I had to get the power washer out, and the power washer has different settings. It has that mist, and then it has that one that's like self-amputation if you're not careful with it, right? So I had to use that one to clean the deck to get the gunk and the grime and the bird poo and all the stuff that's on it, because we have bird feeders and birds come, so to get that, looking clean and fresh, that's what it looks like. We have to use the power washer sometimes. So the Word of God can be both. It can be this gentle, refreshing shower, and sometimes, folks, we got to use the power washer on our hearts to scour and blast away all the gunk and the grime and the stuff that has caked itself on there over time. So that's what we're going to do today, all right? So buckle up. Here we go. In Hebrews chapter 5, we back up from, right before the writer of Hebrews gets into faith and all these heroes and all these examples, he backs it up. He's talking to believers, right? He's talking to believers who are scattered throughout the world because of persecution. So he's talking to us today. And I pray, maybe if you're listening today or you're watching and you don't yet believe in Jesus, you're not a follower, you don't have that relationship with him, our prayer is that the truth of God's love for you would pierce your heart today, and today you would make the decision to say yes to Jesus, to enter into that relationship, so you can have peace, so you can have joy, so you can have the abundant life, and have the hope of the life eternal. That's the whole point, But for the writer of Hebrews talking to the believers, who says, it's hard to explain to you, he says, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. He says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. That's why it's hard to understand. It's hard to wrestle with. It's hard to get through it, because I'm not used to it, right? He says, for he is an infant, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Now let's back up that word. He says, who because of practice. Everybody at home, say practice, right? Practice have their senses trained. Everybody say trained. Okay, that's what, if you want the outlook, that worldview that has hope, you have to practice and you have to train. It's not going to come just by osmosis or just by being around other people. We're going to make that point. He says, look, by this point, he goes, you've been following Jesus. He says, you should be a teacher. But he says, but yet you're still sucking a bottle. You're like an infant. You're a grown adult still sucking a bottle. Now listen, folks, I love a good glass of milk. If you've been to my house more than once at nighttime, you know when I'm getting ready to go to bed, and that's kind of your cue to say goodnight, is because I'll go to the fridge and get a nice tall glass of milk, right? That's all right. I love a good glass of milk. But I love a good glass of milk especially well after a few hours after I had a good steak, right? Folks, we gotta grow up in our relationship and move from just, you know, a bottle like a baby. You don't give a steak to a baby, it would choke on it. That's of course, right? There's a progression here, and that's fine, okay? But the implication is clear. The instructions from God are clear for us to grow up, to mature, to start to handle the heavier things in the Word of God. Well, I don't like that passage because I don't understand it. This is difficult. I don't like that book. So I'm just going to stick to the easy stuff. And, you know, we'll tell you, hey, if you've never studied your Word before, to read Proverbs. And we're going to come back to that again today. You know, that's a great place to start. But, folks, I'm encouraging you, don't stay there. You got to move beyond it. Move into the heavier stuff so you can get all the good nutrients that will really help you to grow and develop. Okay, so that's what he's saying here in Hebrews 5, and he's making this point that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and yet you struggle to have this worldview that has hope beyond this life, then really it comes down to it is due to a lack of application of the Word. It's on you, and I'm just going to be blunt about that. You know, maybe I'm being a little more bold because there's nobody here in the room. You know, but I can say it that if you don't have that worldview, it's because you're not applying the Word. See, a lack of faith, I don't have that, I have fear, I have worry, I have all this stuff, that's not God holding something back from you. That's you holding back from Him because you haven't applied the Word to yourself. That's what it comes down to, okay? So today we're going to go through three points to get us, you know, to understand that, and then we'll do some practical application of how to apply God's Word to ourselves, to speak His promises so that our minds are transformed, which brings us into the abundant life, which gives us hope. Amen? Amen. Great. So in Acts chapter 19, the first thing, the first point we're going to make, we read this story in Acts chapter 19. The church is up and running and growing, and God's doing all these wonderful things. And in Acts 19, it says, starting with verse 11, God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, the apostle. Paul, who was Saul, the greatest persecutor in the church, met Jesus face to face. Everything changed. Now he's the greatest missionary the world's ever seen. Paul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out. But also, some of the Jewish exorcists who went from place to place attempted to name over those who had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Now, seven sons of one Sceva. There's a tongue twister there for you. Bella, you're listening at home, you know? Our child's not home alone, okay? But... Sea sails by the seashore, you know, try this one. Seven sons of one Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. I adjure you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, right? And the evil spirit answered and said to them, I recognize Jesus, and I know about Paul, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them and subdued all of them and overpowered them, so they fled out of that house naked and wounded. So what's the point here? The first point is you have to know the Word yourself. You're going to recognize this. If you've been through our discipleship classes, you're going to recognize this. This is the condensed version of what we go through. I don't believe we have to hide that material because this is incredibly important information for us to know, for all believers to know, okay? You get the expanded full bridge version when you come to discipleship class. But the first thing is you have to know the Word yourself. As a disciple of Jesus, you have to fight your own battles. In the early stages, when we're infants, when we're young, when we're immature in our faith, we need mentors, we need guides, we need leaders, we need teachers, absolutely, to come alongside you and help you, right? But as you progress, you have got to fight your battles for yourself. Nobody else can fight them for you, okay? It's interesting here in this story, as you know, it stands out to me that, you know, as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus, be aware of, know that the enemy certainly knows who you are, knows your name, and importantly, is afraid of you. You know, so we don't have to go through life being afraid of our enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy, but to recognize the authority that has been given to us because he recognizes us as having the Spirit of Jesus, right? And he knows our name, and he knows, most importantly, the damage we're going to cause to his kingdom by going in and setting captives free and proclaiming God's truth, by spreading his love, by showing his grace, by all those things. He knows the impact we're going to have. So it's interesting here. I know the Spirit said, I know Jesus, and I've heard about Paul. I know the impact he's making, but who are you, right? We have to fight our own battles. And so it's not good enough to say, well, you know, whatever I'm facing, well, pastor, insert whatever pastor you want, doesn't matter, Rick, Jen, Ted, Cliff, whoever, right? Pastor, they say so-and-so. That's not going to cut it at the end of the day. The only thing that's going to give you victory and lead you to the abundant life is for you to stand up and say, no, to speak to your situation, to speak to your circumstances, to speak to those evil, harassing spirits and say, no, the word of God says this, and therefore you have to obey it. Okay? So you have to know the word yourself. And then we move on here in the second point in James chapter 1. James, again, speaking to believers scattered around the world because of persecution, he says, put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, and in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. See, and that's the thing. If we go through this life and we're given into fear and all this other stuff, we're deluding ourselves. You know, what have we been saying through this whole series? You can't act contrary to what you believe. So what you truly believe is what comes out. So if you don't really believe it, that's what you're going to get, right? So don't delude yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks in his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what he looks like. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. How many of you want to be blessed? Okay, then what do we got to do, right? You have to honestly apply it to yourself. You got to know the word, and you have to honestly apply it to yourself. Celebrate Recovery calls it a fearless moral inventory. I love that phrase. I love the word, the use of the word fearless. Because we all have stuff in our lives. I was talking with a friend of mine yesterday. We were talking about how we can, as humans, we compartmentalize so much in our lives. You know, we have that closet in our lives, or that junk drawer. We go, yeah, God, we're not going to look in that. Don't look in there because that's a mess. I'll give you this. You know, the living room is nice and clean, so we can sit, we can hang out there. But this junk over here, I don't want you to be a part of that. No, we have to go in every closet, go in every drawer, lift up the carpet, see what we swept under there, and let God do His thing there, so we can clean it and make it whole, right? So it's fearless. We're not afraid of it. We go in because God's not put off by anything that's in our lives. He knows what's in there anyway, and He just wants to go and do a miracle if we will let Him. So applying it to ourselves, folks, I'm just going to be honest here, right? I've heard so many times, I've lost count how many times after a message, somebody would say, hey, that was a great message. You know, I appreciate that. And they say, I really wish my husband, my kid, my parents, my coworkers, my neighbors, whatever, had heard that message. Folks, we got to stop saying, hey, are you paying attention to this? And we have to look ourselves in the mirror and say, am I paying attention to this? Okay? So if you're in a room with somebody else, I want you to look at them and say, it's not about me. I'm sorry, it's not about you. It's about me, right? It's one of the only times in scriptures we're going to get to say this, that it is about me, all right? It's not about you. It's about me. It's not about you. It's about me. Okay? If you're alone, look in the mirror. It's not about anybody else. It's about me in the mirror. Okay? We have to apply the word to ourselves, because at the end of the day, we can't change anybody else. We can't affect it. You know, God has to do that work. So we're driving ourselves crazy trying to do it and worry about it anyway. So just let the word work on you, and then the rest will take care of itself, okay? And I notice this statement here, in James 1. Notice this statement here. This man will be. You see that? Will be. It doesn't say can be. It doesn't say might be, maybe, should be. It says will be blessed. You will be. And we're going to see this phrase a lot in the next few minutes here. But this is simple cause and effect, okay? When we live according to the world's ways of thinking, we get the world's outcomes, which is what? Selfishness and fear that leads to chaos and unrest. And that's what we have in our culture right now. I mean, like, it's in our culture all the time. But times of stress and times of change like we have right now really bring that to the surface. It comes out, right? What do we say a lot? We say this a lot here, right? If you want the Bible results, you got to do what the Bible says. It's that simple, okay? When we live according to the Word of God, then we get His results, which is selflessness and peace, which leads to blessing, and not only for us, but for all those around us, okay? So know the Word fearlessly and apply, honestly apply it to ourselves. And then the third point here, we look at in Matthew chapter 4. This is Jesus who is having His encounter with Satan in the wilderness, just one-on-one, right? And we're not going to read the whole thing, but I just want to zero in on Jesus' response to temptation. Look at what He says. He says, but He answered Satan and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And then verse 10, Jesus said to Satan, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. We'll see why that's important in just a second here. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul goes on. He's talking about the armor of God, all the things we have to put on to withstand the enemy so that we can stand firm. He's like, I mean, not even moving forward, but just standing firm to withstand the assault of the enemy. And he says, take the helmet of salvation. And then he says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance. We'll talk about weapons in just a second. And then in Psalm 119, David says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. So the point here is this. You have to speak the word of God. You have to know it. You have to apply it to yourself. And then you have to speak it. See, to overcome evil like Jesus did, like Paul says in the weapons of the armor of God, okay, you need a weapon. I'm not trying to politicize this statement, but it is just a fundamental truth that the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. Yeah, you know, we have lots of armor to protect ourselves, but to stop a threat, you need a weapon of your own. And the word of God is that weapon. So we got to use it. And you notice it's the only weapon that Jesus used to defeat Satan. When Jesus is out there in the wilderness, one-on-one, right, this great cosmic battle, it's not even close, by the way. I mean, Jesus just annihilates Satan with this, right? But notice what Jesus does. He does not try to rationalize with Satan. He doesn't try to talk his way out of it. Doesn't use philosophy. Doesn't use science. Doesn't use wisdom. Doesn't use anything else except the word of God. And he spoke it. He didn't beam thoughts at Satan. He didn't have this mental inner monologue, you know, or dialogue, you know, with his thoughts. He spoke it out loud. Satan, he looked him right in the eye. Satan, no, it is written. And he did it three times, and finally Satan left. So we have to speak the word of God. Well, I'm not really comfortable doing that. I don't really know what to say. Okay, what? What did we see earlier? Practice and train. Practice and train. It's the only way you can get there, okay? You didn't just jump on a bike and start riding without having watched somebody else and tried it yourself and fallen down a few times and gotten skinned knees. That's part of the process. You get up and you start doing it again, all right? because a gun in the holster is not going to stop all threats. Okay, I was in law enforcement for a long time, you know, and I walk around, had the badge and had the gun and vest on, and you know that, you know, people see the gun on the hip and they go, oh, okay, all right, and that backs down a lot. It will stop a lot. But the person who is intent on harming you, he doesn't care about the gun on your holster. He cares, are you willing to use it? And that's what the word of God is. We can know the scriptures, we can have that gun in our holster, but when the attack from the enemy comes, if we don't bring that out of the holster and speak it and bring it into play, it's not going to do any good. Okay, we have to speak the word of God in order to overcome evil and to experience victory. Okay. So, what does that look like? All right. So, know the word of God. Honestly, apply it to yourself and speak it. If we do that, that will transform our thoughts. All right. How do we do it? What does that look like? So, let's give you an example. All right. Get your Bibles. Turn to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. It's only 6 verses. We're going to read through this. I'm going to show you what I do. Okay, you know, when I study my word, when I study the scriptures, and how it becomes not just words on a page, but something that gets into my mind, into my heart, and therefore I live it. Okay, in Psalm 1, it says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Okay, here we go. 3 steps to apply the word of God to yourself. All right? Number 1, make it personal. Number 2, highlight the I or he will statements, and 3, speak it. Now, maybe for some of you, the idea of writing in your Bible is, it's okay. Take a breath, say, it's okay to write in your Bible, to make notes, because that is your roadmap for life. You want success, you got to know where you're going, right? So you want to highlight the promises so that you can remember them, right? So if we apply this to Psalm 1, what does it look like? First of all, make it personal, right? how blessed I am because I do not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. My delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law I meditate day and night. I will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. I will yield fruit in its season, and my leaf will not wither. In whatever I do, I prosper. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Now, you begin to say statements when, you know, when situations, hard times come up. You're faced and you want to give in. You say, no, I will be like a tree planted beside streams of water. Right? I will yield its fruit in its season. Go back to, you know, my delight is in the law of the Lord. I will meditate on his word day and night. You speak it into existence. Let's give you a look at another example. Proverbs 26. Today is April 26th. So if you read your proverb this morning, right? We encourage you to read a proverb a day. Then you read this one, right? Let's read Proverbs 26:4. Just go a few pages to your right from where you are there in Psalms. Proverbs 26:4. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will also be like him. How many of you read that one this morning, right? I know Rick did. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you also will be like him. Let's apply the three steps here, right? Make it personal, highlight the I or he will statements, and then speak it. I will not answer a fool in his folly, otherwise I will become like him. Now you have a great opportunity to put this into practice. After church, now you're going to go on social media and post all the great things and the message, how it spoke to you and all this good stuff, and you're going to start seeing all the other stuff from other people, and you're going to say, ooh, I don't agree with that. I'm going to... No, I will not answer a fool in his folly. There is no greater opportunity to engage a fool in his folly than on Facebook or social media right now. Right? I will not answer a fool in his folly, otherwise I will become like him. Is the other one that I love. Like a man who grabs a dog between the ears is someone who engages in a quarrel that isn't his, you know? And I read that this morning, I'm like, oh, nope. I will not engage someone else's, I am grabbing a dog between the ears if I engage in someone else's folly. If I get involved in someone else's strife that isn't mine. So, you know, I remind myself of that one a lot, scrolling through social media and seeing stuff and going, nope, you know what? I will answer, I will weigh in on certain things when I believe the Spirit tells me to. For a large part of it, though, is to let it pass and to let it go. Because otherwise, it just stirs up all this stuff, right? So, this is how we apply God's Word to our lives. Now, listen. If you will do this, you know, I don't care what you're reading, okay? You will find, as you go throughout the Scriptures, there are over 1,000 references to where the Lord alone says, where God says, I am going to do this. I will. Or it says, he, speaking of God, he will do this. Okay? If you highlight those things and you begin to speak those things over and over again, let it sink down in your heart. You will see your worldview change. Okay? I have some, I'm going to go through a bunch of them here. I don't want you to try and follow along. Okay? What I really want you to do, folks, in your living room, in your kitchen, wherever you are, unless you're driving, don't do this. Okay? Close your eyes and just let the promises of God wash over you. Okay, I've made all these scriptures available. They're going to be part. We sent in an email. We'll put them on Facebook, all that stuff. Okay, for you to reference throughout the rest of this week. I'm going to encourage you to come back and study these scriptures. You know, take one and meditate on it. Okay, but just let the Word of God, let His promises, all the things that not even all the things. This is a partial list of the things that God will do in your life, and let it sink in your heart, and let hope be birthed and grow and soar. Okay, this is what God's word says. The Lord will never again destroy every living thing. He will remember his covenant with me. He will bless me when I follow him. He will bless me when I obey him. He will instruct me and counsel me. He will be exalted in all the earth. He will not violate his covenant with me. He will deliver me, set me on high, answer me, rescue me, and satisfy me. He will give me rest. He will build his church and will give me the keys to his kingdom. He will give me wisdom and words to speak to those who oppose me. He will give me living water. He will not cast me out when I come to him. He will raise me to life if I believe in him. He will come again and receive me so that I can be with him. He will give me his Holy Spirit. He will not leave me or abandon me. He will give me everlasting joy. He will save all those who call upon his name. He will destroy the wisdom of this world. He will soon crush Satan under my feet. He will confirm me to the end. He will raise me to life with the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. He will live with me, be my God, welcome me, be my Father. He will pay back to me the service that I give him. He will reveal to me if I have a bad attitude. He'll bring me to life if I believe in the resurrection of Jesus. He will strengthen and protect me from the evil one. He will give me every understanding in everything. He will rescue me from every evil deed, bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. He will be merciful to me, remember my sin no more when I repent. He will restore me when I am sick. He will give me the crown of life if I am faithful unto death, and he will wipe away every tear from my eyes. That is the God that we serve, and those are his promises for you. And if you meditate on those things, if you read them, you highlight them, and you speak those things, hope will soar within your heart. Your mind will be transformed. It will be renewed. All the junk, all the dirt and grime on your heart and on your mind will be blasted away, and you will say, yes, Lord Jesus. Wherever you are, whatever situation I find myself in, you are in. I look to, you are in control, and I look to you, and my hope is in you. Therefore, I will not be afraid. Transforming our minds by the word of God is what enables us to live by faith. So I'm going to encourage you, guys want to come up and we'll sing that song, to read and to meditate and speak on his promises. Proverbs 23, verses 17 and 18. Read this aloud with me, right where you are. I will not let my heart envy sinners, but I will live in the fear of the Lord always. Surely there is a future, and my hope will not be cut off. We're going to sing a song here that goes along with this. Promise, he will do it again. Before we do that, I'm inviting everyone here, wherever you are, to close your eyes. If you have never before allowed Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, to allow him to accept his forgiveness for all the sins that have separated from you, I'm encouraging you right where you are right now to just say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I'm inviting you in to be my friend, to be my guide, and to be my hope. I put my trust and my hope in you. Thank you, Lord, for leading me to the abundant life. In Jesus' name. And for the rest of you, if you have been given into fear and to hopelessness and all these things, just now, let this song minister to you. Let it be the anthem of your heart. And just say, Lord, I'm coming to you again. And I'm gonna train, I'm going to practice, I'm going to discern between good and evil according to your word. I'm going to let hope soar within my heart. Amen. Let's enjoy this time of worship.
Walking around these walls, I thought but now they'd fall. But you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won. For you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faith. your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me yet.
Promises. Thank you for your word, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Lord, we can have confidence because of who you are, what you've done, and that you'll do it again, Lord. You are faithful to us, and you are with us until the end of time. So, Lord, we commit that to you. Lord, thank you. We just say, use us wherever we are, whatever situation, whatever circumstances, to shine your light, to give hope to those who are lost in the dark, that they may come to know you, love you, and serve you. Thank you for doing it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Whew. Okay, so, moving right along. We're going to come back to some more of the question and answers that have come in over the last couple weeks. We didn't get through all of it last week, so Jenny and Ted are going to grab some stuff here. So we're going to go through a few things, and we should hopefully get through a bunch of it, so hang around for this part. We got some good stories and some good opportunities and some things to share here, so that's pretty cool. Okay. Oh, great. Thanks, guys. Okay, so let me just to follow up on this one here. The question was, are we in position to continue meeting our obligations in the coming weeks or months? I know a lot of you asking, how's the church doing financially? And the short answer there is God's been amazing to provide for us, so we're rolling on. Lloyd, congratulations, buddy. Uh-oh. Saw your electric bill. What was it, 149? 146. 146. Nice. We set a new record low for the electric bill this month. So congratulations, everyone. You did your part. the church is doing well. We've had to dip into the salary escrow a little bit, but not to the extent I think any of us really thought we were going to have to. And with things looking like they might start to turn in the coming weeks, we're going to be okay. The question of who determines what obligations to pay and not to pay, that's a church management team decision. We would have to get to that place. There isn't a kind of an official policy as far as salaries go or employees. Last one in is the first one out. Should we have to get to that point? But we're not. Yeah, we have never had to do that, and I don't see that as anything in the foreseeable future.
And we want to just thank you all, because we know that giving in itself is a step of faith, whether it's a good time or not. And in the bad times, in the times of uncertainty and wondering. So many of you have still been giving, and God does honor that. And we just want to thank you so much for, you know, sowing into the kingdom, that we've been able to continue the ministry of the church and help people who are in need as we're getting the phone calls and things like that. God God is still at work, and we just want to thank you for those steps of faith, and we believe that God's going to rebuke the devourer for his own namesake, as his word promises, and to provide every need that you have according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Yeah.
And I know that one of the things that's been happening as the church has experienced that is because you all are experiencing that at home, you know, and Matt and Stacy sent this in talking about a neat story that God had done for them. Stacy said, a few weeks ago, I learned I would be furloughed from my second job. I wasn't sure how we were going to make it without that income, but I prayed and asked God to show us the way. That night, when Matt got home from work, I told him what had happened. And he said, well, let me tell you what happened at work today. He said, because he's essential, his work decided to give their employees extra money. That extra money came out to be exactly what we had lost just a few hours earlier from my second job. I mean, that's just God taking care of, you know. So praying for everyone that they are doing well, thanks, Matt and Stacy. So, I mean, that's just one example I know of how God continues to be faithful to his people. When we are obedient to him, then he is faithful to us, you know. So, okay. All right, so we're going to spend some time with this question here. How is BMCC giving back and supporting our community to show God's love? Are we able to organize a food drive? If not, can we partner with other churches who already have a weekly food pantry? So let me answer a little bit of that is that, Benevolence Ministry has been active, you know, and again, if you need help, you know, reach out to us, send an email, or you can contact Jane or Gracine, and we can get you food or other, you know, other things if necessary. That's all still running, okay? So the church, just because we're not meeting, the arms of Jesus hasn't stopped reaching out. So if you need help, by all means, and we've continued to do that. One thing that I wanted to share is our new ministry, which we haven't really been able to fully promote yet because we were about to, and then we got shut down. But Cheryl and Jeremy Heim have created a new ministry here at BMCC called Impact Ministry. And what they're trying to do is be a, really kind of a liaison between the church and outside organizations, kind of working with Benevolence and Caring Friends, but going extended beyond that to our community. One of the few things here, I forgot to print it out. But anyway, Cheryl and her team, her family there, they put some gift cards, some greeting cards, and some care packages, and they delivered them to this was back before the shutdown, of course, to the senior centers, Pleasant Trees, this is in Nesquehoning, and which one is that? Hometown, you know. So they were delivering stuff, and they, made people bless them and stuff. Darn it, what did I do with that? Hold on, I got all confused now, and now I have to go to my notes. So, feel free to jump in here while I'm killing time. Let me bring up her message because I know they also reached out to our local. Yes, I'm going to get that. I just wanted to see where it is here. Sorry for the dead time. I was all prepared, and then...
Then you weren't.
Then I wasn't, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you what they did and then what they have coming up. Here we go. This was in the beginning of April. The Impact Ministry ordered and delivered a meal to our state troopers, Troop N, and the Palmerton Fire and Ambulance personnel. We wanted to thank them for their service and let them know that we are praying for them. They took our website information, and they said they're going to live stream our services on Sundays. And we just want to thank you, our local first responders, for being available to us, and certainly we love you guys and appreciate you. So that was, these are just small examples of folks who are reaching out, to continue to be intentional in new and different ways to our community. Now, the next thing that the Impact Ministry is going to do is on Saturday, May 2nd, okay, so that's this coming Saturday, between 3 and 6 o'clock is a feeding friends opportunity. Not a feeding frenzy, but a feeding friends. Okay? Been watching too much nature on Disney Plus. But so what they're offering is one free hot meal per family member. Pickup will be here at the church, and the food will be brought to your car. So we're going to maintain our social distancing. We're going to have a minimal crew. The food is being brought in from outside. We're just going to warm it here, keep it warm, put it together, deliver it to your car. Meal reservations are required through a sign-up through April 28th, okay? So we're going to make that available to you. It's going to go out in an email right as soon as the service is done. There'll be an email, a sign-up letter, And here's the information. The email to, if you want to sign up for more information, is bmimpactministry@gmail.com. All right, bluemountainimpactministry@gmail.com. Okay. So realizing that this pandemic has caused a lot of challenges to each and every one of us, our new Impact Ministry would like to provide a free meal to any family member who is in a position that could use one, whether in our church or in our community. I've asked the Impact Ministry to prepare a sign-up sheet that you'll find on our website, or you can reach out directly via email. I don't know if you can put it on the website, but we're going to put it on Facebook and in the email. If you or your family need one, or if you know a family that could use one, please fill out the sign-up sheet and return it no later than Tuesday, April 28th. And then a small team will provide it and deliver it. Okay, so that's this coming week. I was talking with Cheryl yesterday, and she said they already have 39 people signed up. You know, so it's a great opportunity there. So if you are interested in being a part of that team or in contributing financially, you can also reach out to Cheryl through that Gmail account. That's just, I think it's a great opportunity. You know, I mean, people are in need, and especially the longer this has gone on, you know, the need is there. So I think that's a great way. People, you know, listening to the Spirit and doing what God has created them and crafted them to do, serving to their spiritual gifts to reach the needs of our community. So I thought that was pretty cool. Ted, you got one you could share with us?
Sure. I just wanted to mention our congregation is always ready to reach out at the hand of Christ. It's just an awesome thing to see over and over again. And Joanne, her job began to change as everything began to shut down. She was out in the community working with individuals, with handicapped individuals, and they closed that program down, and she was then moved into a house that had medical needs, and it began to be important to have a mask. In fact, it was mandatory at the time, and she just mentioned to a friend that's in the church that she's going to have to start having a mask, and within a short time, she was given a call, and this person who wants her name to be left out, because she wants a reward in heaven, I'm sure, and she said, I have 10 masks immediately available. If you just come and get them, you can have them. And so Joanne was able to go into her medical house. She works second shift, so she runs into the first shift and third shift. And within a short time, she was able to hand out over 20 masks. Mm-hmm. And they all were very excited to receive them. The masks are soft, breathable cotton. They look professional, but they're designed in great colors that these individuals wouldn't be threatened by, because they don't really understand what's going on with this pandemic stuff. And so they were just a friendly way to be able to fit that need of masks. And they all wanted to contribute to buy them. A lot of times people will use these opportunities to make money, but Joanne was given these, and she gave them free and would not receive any money. And they just were so overjoyed to receive this gift, and even to want to check out our church. So
that's great.
Thank you to the congregation who immediately hears of a need and finds someone to respond. And it's just been awesome to see just this, a gift like a mask could meet a need and help people feel a little more secure and reached out by the hands of Christ.
Absolutely. Awesome. Yep, absolutely. Okay. Question is, can we open up more counseling resources for our community or develop Zoom focus groups for support? Now, Ted, you're still available for counseling.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So if you have counseling, you know, individual counseling needs, Ted's still available. You know, we can still meet the church. You know, we can maintain social distancing and use your protective equipment, all that good stuff. So that stuff is still available to you. Also, if you're interested in checking out what Celebrate Recovery is doing, now Celebrate Recovery has had to change drastically what we can or can't do because of the nature. And we can't do a lot of the things that we do on our Tuesday night meeting online because of confidentiality and copyright issues. That's what it comes down to, because it's too easy to be reproduced, and it's too easy for someone else to be in the background or something like that. So, but we are continuing teachings, and it's through a Zoom meeting, through a live Zoom meeting. So if you're interested in checking, and you have to get the code, so you can get it from Scott Licato. Scott, hey, Scott, doing well, buddy. You can email Scott, scottlicato6099@gmail.com. And he can send you the code that you can check out the meetings. This coming Tuesday, I'm actually teaching. So that, you know, we do worship, some news, some teaching, and then there's opportunities even for breakout sessions in different kind of chat rooms. So those kinds of things are available. As far as the Zoom, you know, that's the biggest thing we run into is the confidentiality things, you know. So that makes it very problematic to do that well. But I know people are thinking outside the box, and you know, there's all kinds of, you know, there's group chats and all kinds of things like that to encourage you to check those things out. Okay, but again, pastors, you know, we're still available. You know, so that hasn't changed. Okay, this was interesting. Lee and Bunny shared with us that two of their grandsons had to leave their college dorms and couldn't go home to Brazil. So they've been staying with them and trying to continue college online. Lee and Bunny said, "We've been humbled with church folks helping us to finance these young men's groceries. I quite forgotten how much a 20-something can eat." thank you, church. You know, that's just, again, another opportunity. You know, in your small groups, this is why we promote small groups and connection groups so much, because in times like this, that's your lifeline. You know, and it's been really cool. I know that that's been a big support for a lot of people. Would you want to read that one?
Sure. Stephen Kathy?
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Okay. Stephen Kathy McSparren shared, "One thing that we think God is doing during isolation is increasing our understanding of how important our relationships are to him and to each other. Many of you know that Steve and I spend 2 to 3 days a week babysitting for our daughter's two little boys. She is a nurse and has been caring for COVID patients, so besides the government regulations, she has kept us away to keep our health safe. Needless to say, we miss them very much. FaceTime helps, but not the same. On Easter Saturday, we received a huge surprise, a knock on our door, and there stood Megan and Alex and Ethan with a beautiful Easter lily. Little Elias was asleep in the car. We had to stand outside and keep 6 feet apart, so hard not to hug, but it was delightful to see them in person and to know that they cared enough to drive the hour and a half just to make us feel loved."
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that's kind of what we're encouraging church to do. You know, again, think outside the box and to demonstrate how you can, you know, care for people. Right, Lloyd, can you give me a heads up when I got 60 seconds left? Cool, thanks. All right, because I know we're going to cut it close here. All right. Question came in, and I've lumped these questions together, but right before the shutdown, we were going to send a larger than normal payment to GOE Missions for their VBS program. Did we send the full payment? Were they able to have their VBS, or was it to cancel and postpone? And for those of you who don't know that or need a refresher, we sent $10,000 in addition to the monthly support that we send there to GOE Missions for VBS. I've been in constant contact with VJ. We talk pretty much every week. Multiple times a week, usually. So no, they did not have their VBS because they were just in the planning phases when their shutdown went into effect. They have stashed it to the side. They're keeping it. Once they are able to resume, they're gonna continue on with that. He said they're in isolation. VJ and his family, all the pastors are, you know, the home church pastors, they're all in lockdown. He said to pray for them specifically. Pray for those pastors who are out in the remote areas, because at this point, a lot of their support has been cut off in the terms of, VJ will go and travel. He travels and he sees them all, you know, and is there and will give them money and things like that, and that's not able to happen. He was applying for a pass from the government to be able to start traveling a little bit, but that hasn't come through yet. So be in prayer for those pastors in India who are working in the remote areas right now. But they are very appreciative of, again, what we send them. And Valu and VJ are very good stewards of what we send them as far as being wise to pass it on to the local pastors in need. How can we pray for and support our church management team and church family besides our usual everyday prayers? I love that question. Yeah. That shows the heart of our church. Are there specific needs, desires, concerns we should add? At this point, you know, we're navigating things. We're taking it one week at a time. As far as what we're going to do, how we're going to resume things, we're in the beginning stages of a plan, you know, to kind of reincorporate, you know, back to the full gatherings. We'll see. We'll play it out. Lloyd, you still working on the parking lot in the back? Is that kind of, yep, kind of up and down? So we're you know, we are doing some things here, you know, to make room for folks. At this point, we're good, you know. But just pray for those who, you know, in the congregation or our community who are struggling, you know, and look for how can God use you to be a minister. That's what it comes down to. You know, a time like this, God is calling you to be a minister to the people around you. And that's our job, is to equip you to do that job, you know, the work that God's called you to.
I think the other thing is just pray for wisdom, you know, for all of us. I know, you know, when Ted and Cliff and I and Pastor Rick and Nancy, as we're counseling people, just like God would give us wisdom in how to help people's hearts and direct people's hearts toward Jesus, because there are a lot of people struggling with depression and a lot of things going on that, you know, you can imagine everyone's at a different place with this. Some people are doing fine, and some people are not doing well at all. We've been able to kind of FaceTime with some people to talk with them more face-to-face to help them with counseling. But just ask the Lord to give us wisdom for what's next. You know, every week we just say, okay, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do this week? What's your challenge for us this week? And so I don't know if you wanted to add to that at all with the counseling.
Yes, I seek to do it over the phone if possible. But if somebody needs the face-to-face, we can open the room and we can do the social distancing thing that would occur, enable them that to happen.
Great. Last story I want to share with you, this came from Tim and Corinne. She called it the Great Pause. It has given us a rare opportunity to live out faith and put it in motion. We can choose to list the negative in this season, or we can live by faith and see the good. God is giving us an opportunity to put into motion what we've been learning in the faith series. One of my favorite discoveries has been a Facebook page called View From My Window. It has over 1 million members from around the world. People post a picture of their view, and some write a small excerpt about their situation during quarantine. It includes beautiful settings, gardens, snow, oceans, cities, rolling hillsides, and the northern lights. The setting that impressed me the most was a dim picture taken in South Africa by a woman who was looking at a cement wall into a parking garage through a gate covering over her window. She said that her view wasn't much compared to others, but she posted anyway because she wanted to share her thankfulness for a roof over her head, food supplies, and a safe place to shelter. Many in South Africa do not have homes and live on the street. They're not safe. Wow. If one word could describe what God is doing in so many of our lives, I think it's perspective. It's not about getting to the end of the pandemic. It's about what God opens our eyes to in the middle of it. She said, for us, it'll be our family. It'll be a renewed marriage, better financial management, less school activities, more family dinner time, added time daily to be still and know the value of instruments and music, and God's timing is perfect. And I thought that was a great place to end our service here, was with that quote right there. It's not about getting to the end of the pandemic. It's about what God opens our eyes to in the middle of it. So that's our prayer for you. Make it your prayer. Whatever God is doing for you, in the middle of this, let him use you and see what he does. He will be faithful to you. Amen. 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 So we love you, church. We'll see you again next week. Have a great week. We love you.